Segway officials talk fiscal budget, unemployment benefits, and new hires. And eating disorders are on the rise in Alaska, but local resources are scarce. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Corinne Smith. Those stories are up next. Skagway officials are still debating how to allocate almost $500,000 from the Norwegian Cruise Line's $2 million donation. They are also working on next year's budget, and they're hiring more staff. KHNS's Mike Swayze talked with Skagway Mayor Andrew Cremata about this week's Borough Assembly meeting.
All right, Mr. Mayor, looks like the budget is one of the top items on the agenda for this week. What's happening with the budgetary process?
So we had three Assembly of the Whole meetings where we went through the budget in detail. Now the budget comes to the Assembly table so that it can be read. This is the first reading. It has to have three readings to be approved. And this gives the public opportunity to speak on it and for the Assembly to make any tweaks or changes. It's a good budget, solid. Great work by municipal staff to put that together.
All right. Anything that stands out that we need to know about?
You know, obviously we're not going to be operating at a full budget again. So, you know, what stands out the most to me is that, you know, we're optimistic that we're going to have a better 2022 than 2021. Well, we also have a new department, our port department budget, which is relatively small at this point. But I imagine as we transition into having more control over our port, waterfront, and uplands, then you're going to see that budget expand in the coming years. So something to keep an eye on.
I would guess, yeah. Also on the agenda this week, the unemployment benefits are back. Tell me what has changed with the resolution, if there's been any changes made, and is this going to be the final vote on it?
Well, so the changes haven't been made yet, although I imagine we have, you know, some potential amendments that are going to come forward at the table to streamline it a bit. I think some of the proposed amendments at the last Assembly meeting maybe didn't sit well because they were going to be really complicated for staff to operate. I think there's some concern within portions of the community that the program may not meet the needs of the community, but I haven't seen one piece of correspondence. You know, my guess is that there'll be some debate about it. And, you know, there's the potential that this could get, you know, kicked a little further down the road here to the next Assembly meeting so that more tweaks can be made.
Okay, so that's kind of a wait and see. It looks like you're creating a new firefighter position. Is that right?
Yes.
And tell me more about that.
You know, I don't know a lot about the new firefighter position. I know that, you know, my take on it personally is that we want to have a, you know, robust fire department capable of handling any challenges that could come our way. And, you know, when you think about the size of our fire department and the fact that on any given day, on a normal year, we may have, you know, 22,000-23,000 people in town, then it opens your eyes about potential problems that could arise from having a fire department responding unit that's not robust enough to be able to handle some kind of emergency.
Moving on, there's a new tourism director coming to town. Is that a final deal, or does the Assembly have to weigh in?
As with all department heads, the Assembly will, you know, move to approve this particular hire. It is Jamie Bricker, who is going to bring a lot of experience, and I think everybody is very well aware of her dedication to this community.
I am a big fan of Jamie Bricker. She's worked at Valley Pass for a long time, and she's a high-level employee there, and then she's going to come and be our tourism director. Is there a
Indeed.
Conflict of interest there?
I know that Jamie Bricker has some of the strongest qualities of integrity that I've ever met in a human being.
Well, I can't argue with that. Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for the time, and we will see you on Thursday night.
Okay, sounds good.
That was KHNS's Mike Swayze and Skagway Mayor Andrew Cremata discussing this week's Borough Assembly meeting. The meeting can be streamed live at 7 p.m. Thursday night at khns.org. The number of Americans with eating disorders has skyrocketed during the pandemic. And as Claire Strempel reports for KTOO, Alaska does not have enough resources to help them.
Jasmine Taylor Bryant says it should have been a red flag when her daughter Willow lost 6 pounds between routine yearly checkups.
And then by March, she had missed a period. And so I was like, nope, you've lost weight. I can see something's going on. Everything around food is stressful. We need to go to the doctor.
It was obvious her daughter was losing too much weight. But the local clinic wanted to run tests and make sure something else wasn't behind Willow's weight loss.
It kind of just got out of control really fast for her, not being able to eat.
By May, Willow was losing a pound or two a week. Taylor Bryant says it took a long time to get an eating disorder diagnosis. There are no treatment centers for eating disorders in Alaska. And for families like theirs, who rely on Medicaid, there's only one option for treatment. It's in Utah. The wait list is 12 weeks long.
And, you know, every week I was just saying, like, we don't have 12 weeks, you know, and then we don't have 11 weeks. Well, we don't have 10 weeks. Like, she's not going to make it at this rate. Like, this is not, you know, this is too much too fast. And she couldn't control it at that point.
Taylor Bryant found another clinic with space for Willow, roughly 3,000 miles away. She declined to share exactly where it is for privacy reasons. Willow's still in treatment there. The family is paying out of pocket. It costs up to $1,800 a day, up front. She estimates the total bill by the time Willow was released in January will be more than $200,000. Taylor Bryant moved into the room above her parents' garage so she could rent her place. Willow's grandmother mortgaged her home. The Haynes community, family, and friends have donated tens of thousands of dollars to save Willow's life. There's only one dietitian in the state certified to work with eating disorders.
We need qualified clinicians.
Grace Ray Schumacher noticed that she was seeing a lot of patients with eating disorders when she began work as a dietitian in Palmer. Cases began to ramp up during the pandemic. Schumacher says Alaska's medical facilities aren't set up to handle the volume or the severity.
It was pretty scary. And as a clinician dealing with the liability of having patients in my care who are not necessarily supposed to be cared for at this level of care, it's intimidating.
Schumacher works with out-of-state clinics to get people into care they need. But she says wait times can be really long lately. And some clinics only accept certain populations. The Utah clinic that takes Medicaid only works with female-identifying patients over the age of 13, for example. That leaves a lot of people out.
My son was diagnosed with an eating disorder at the age of 10, about 2 years ago.
Keegan Carroll says doctors in her community didn't really know how to respond and initially brushed off her concerns. She's turned to advocacy in the wake of her son's illness. She joined the committee of a fledgling nonprofit and is pushing for awareness. Beth Rose began that nonprofit, Alaska Eating Disorders Alliance, 2 years ago with a friend. Both women recovered from eating disorders in their teens and then navigated care with their children.
And we've had people ask us, oh my gosh, where have you been? Because the need was great before and it's been even more intense since that time.
She says the stakes couldn't be higher. More people die with eating disorders than any psychiatric illness other than opioid addiction.
There's so much shame and stigma around eating disorders.
The National Eating Disorder Association runs a hotline for calls, texts, and chat for people in need. The volume of interactions went up 56% during the pandemic. Back in Haynes, Taylor Bryant says her daughter is making progress in the lower 48. On a recent video call, some of Willow's friends passed in the hall.
I could hear just kids like going like, hi, Willow's mom. It just reminded me so, like, I know that they're all just a bunch of kids, but like, it was like, oh my God, they're just normal kids that are all scared and all so far away from home.
Local advocates want to bring care like this closer and make it easier to find help at all. In Juneau, I'm Claire Strimple.
For KHNS, I'm Corinne Smith. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read news stories on our website at khns.org. You can also subscribe to KHNS News on Spotify or anywhere you get your podcasts.